You're listening to the trial of Kelsey Fitzsimmons from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You may have a seat and pull yourself right up to the mic. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Excellent. Thank you. You may proceed.
Sir, in a loud, clear voice, can you please introduce yourself? Spell your first name and your last name.
Patrick Noonan, PatrickNoonan.
And how old are you, sir?
50.
And what town do you live in?
North Andover.
Where were you born?
Rochester, New York.
How long did you stay there?
Until I was about 4 years old.
And where did you move to?
North Andover.
Who did you move with?
My sister, mom and dad.
And what are their names?
My mom has passed, but my dad is Timothy Noonan.
And what was her name?
Patricia.
And your sister?
Mary.
Does your sister live in the area?
She lives in Lynn.
Where did you go to school?
For high school?
Grade school, high school?
The North Andover Public School Systems, and then for high school, I went to St. John's Prep.
And did you play any sports there?
Hockey and lacrosse.
Did you graduate?
I did.
Once you graduated, did you further your education in any way initially?
Initially, yeah, I went to Siena College for about a year, and then that wasn't working out. I got my degree later on down the road.
What did you get your degree in?
Criminal justice.
From where?
UMass Lowell.
Now, after you left Siena, did you work?
Yes, I did.
What'd you do?
I worked at Macy's Security.
Okay. And at some point, how long did you work there?
A couple of years. It wasn't too long.
Did you meet anybody significant in your life while you worked at Macy's?
My wife.
Who's that?
Angie.
Okay. And was she working there also?
She was.
Did you get married at some point?
We did.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a dangerous question. What's your anniversary?
It is December 22nd.
Okay.
1999.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. Do you have any kids?
I do.
How many?
Just one.
Boy or girl?
Boy, Joseph.
And what does Joseph do?
He is currently at UMass Lowell as well, studying environmental engineering.
Have you lived in North Andover ever since you've been 4 years old?
No.
Did you move around?
I did when I was in the military.
Okay, we'll get to that. Oh. I'm sorry about that. At some point, you talked about you were in the military. What area of the military did you join?
Air Force.
Okay, and when was that?
That was in '99.
And where is boot camp for the Air Force?
Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about boot camp, some of the training, some of the things that you were subjected to, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, some sleep deprivation. You also have, you know, you have to learn how to march. They basically strip your identity and try to build you up as a team.
Okay.
Firearms training, things along that.
At some point, did you make it through boot camp?
I did.
Did you... I guess, enlist or volunteer to any special area of the Air Force?
Security forces.
And what is security forces?
They're basically the defenders of the force. So when I went in, I went through my tech school, which is almost like a police academy. We learned various different things in there, land nav, different weapons systems, things of that nature. And then once you graduate, you get your orders cut.
And what were your orders originally?
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Okay. And what was your role when you were in Cheyenne, Wyoming?
I originally, when I was waiting for my security clearance, I was originally working on the ground. So ingress, egress from the gates, a cruiser, enforce the laws of the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
When you're going through that type of training, are you trained in the use of firearms?
Yes.
Any different All different types?
Yes.
Any other types of weapons?
Yes.
Such as?
The 60, which is a fully automatic machine gun. The SAW, which is pretty much the same, only it's a little lighter. The 203, which is an M16 with a grenade launcher attached to it. M16 and also your sidearm.
Eventually, did you get your security clearance?
I did.
Okay, and was your assignment different when you got that?
Yes, they moved me over to like a camper team. So whenever a facility goes down, you go with a 4-man team to protect the site.
Okay. What kind of sites are we talking about?
Missile sites.
Okay. Nuclear missile sites?
Yes.
And are they in one state, more than one state?
Tri-state.
And what tri-state area was that?
That would be Wyoming, Nebraska, and Wyoming, Nebraska, Colorado.
And was that your range, or?
Yes.
And at some point, can you tell us a little bit about the training you got? Was there any specific training for that job?
It was basically like on-job training.
Okay.
We're already trained up, so you get your orders, you get your assignment, and you link up with your 4-man team.
Okay. At some point, did you move on from what you had described as a camper team?
Yes.
To where?
Fire team.
And what is a fire team?
Fire team consists of 4 people. Each person carries a different weapon, from the machine guns to the 203, so on and so forth. Our primary responsibilities were if any alarms were tripped on any of the missile sites, we respond.
Okay. And so you're heavily armed.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you say you respond, is that on the ground?
Yes, it's on a Humvee, yeah.
Okay. Did you at some point move from a camper team to something else?
Yeah, to the fire team, and then from the fire team, I went to the 37th helicopter unit.
Okay, so the helicopter unit.
The 37th what?
Helicopter unit.
So how was your role different in the helicopter unit than it was on the camper team or the fire team?
We're still a 4-man fire team, but our primary mission there was to have overwatch whenever we're transporting nukes to or from base, and we basically radio down to the U.S. Marshal if we see a potential threat up ahead.
When did you leave the service?
2003.
And when you left the service, did you go to work anywhere else?
Seabrook Nuclear Power Plant.
In what capacity?
As an armed guard.
And any specific training of that, or did you rely on your military training for that?
There was also additional training for that. I think it was like 22 weeks or 12 weeks.
And what kind of trainings were that?
Just basic knowledge about nuclear energy, where to go in the plant, where not to go, different hazards to look out for, firearms training, and general knowledge of the whole plant itself.
At some point, did you decide to move on from Seabrook?
I did.
And what was your plan at that point?
The North Andover Police Department. I got on as a full-time reserve.
Okay. And how long were you a full-time reserve?
For 1 year.
And then did you become a full-time police officer?
I did. Went to the academy in 2006.
At some point during your tenure at the North Andover Police Department, did you have additional responsibilities?
Yes.
What were those?
Areas of responsibility, different sectors you're assigned to, respond to calls of service, 911, medical, effect arrests when necessary, enforce motor vehicle law.
What is RRT?
That's the regional response team.
And what is that?
They're a part of NEMLAC, and the RRT team primarily they deal with big crowds, riots, crowd control when it comes to, let's say, big games, if we win championships, just extra security, and also kind of like a search and rescue if people go missing somewhere. They'll deploy the RRT to try to find them.
Were you part of that team?
I was.
For how long?
I would say about a year.
And Nemelec, that's N-E-M-L-E-C, correct?
Yes.
Northeast Massachusetts Law Enforcement Council?
That's correct.
Okay. Did you apply for a different role with Nemelec at some point? And what was that?
SWAT team.
And what's the difference between the RTT, the Regional Response Team, and the SWAT team?
The SWAT team primarily is special weapons and tactics. So we get trained up on different weapons, different uses of less lethal. We execute warrants, knock and no knock, for drugs and guns if there is a hostage situation. I mean, the whole gamut. Anything dangerous is what SWAT usually goes in for.
And so was this a team you had to apply for?
Tryout?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what did that consist of?
8 days. It was like a 3-mile boot run in the morning, and then you had to do push-ups in a certain amount of time, sit-ups, squat thrusts, squat benders. Then you had to run a mile and a half after that and make a specific time. After that, it was a 3-mile obstacle course you had to complete in a certain amount of time. And then after that, it was all firearms.
Okay. What's stress shooting?
When you shoot under stress, so typically how we induce stress when we're when we want to stress shoot is we'll do sprints, we'll do
rounds. Not here as an expert at stress shoot.
I'm sorry.
He's giving expert testimony about what you should and shouldn't do under stress.
Well, he was asked how he practiced stress shooting. That's the way I understood it. So
the assumption sort of rolled in there, Judge, is that he knows about stress shooting, he knows what he's doing with respect to stress shooting.
But, well, he does, because he's been trained in it, and he's telling me that about the training, so.
Well, I don't object to his training. I'm hearing a lot of it, but I do object to any sort of imprimatur as if he's an expert in giving his opinions about the area.
Okay, so I'm going to take, as I said, I'll take it as it comes. I haven't heard any opinion testimony. If there's an opinion, please, by all means, object, but overruled.
Thank you. You continue.
So to induce stress, when we go up to the range, we'll do a series of sprints, burpees, push-ups, sit-ups, and then we go right online. That's for the intent of raising your heartbeat to a very high level and being able to shoot on target.
And when you say online, what do you mean?
The right in front of your targets.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. What's SWAT school?
That consisted of a full week, and I went to Worcester, and it was put on, hosted by LAPD SWAT.
Okay. What did that consist of?
Room entry, hallway clearing, room clearing, building searches, building clearing, the use of flashbangs, firearms, less lethal weapons, operating a Bearcat, shield work, the use of a Halligan, the use of a ram, things of that nature.
What's a shoot, don't shoot scenario?
As far as...
Is that a thing? Shoot, don't shoot?
Oh, yeah, we have shoot, don't shoot scenarios.
Okay, and did you participate in those?
We did.
What are those?
They would put up targets when we were clearing a house, and some of them, the pictures were depicted of either someone having a gun to someone's head as like a hostage, or someone would just be holding up a purse. So that was shoot, don't shoot.
Okay. How often, when you were with SWAT, were you required to train with them?
2 times a month, and then a 40-hour block in the year.
Every year?
During the year, yep.
Okay. And so how long were you with the SWAT? You were with it twice, correct?
Yeah, I was on 2 different teams.
Okay. The first time, how long were you with SWAT?
From 07 to, I believe, 13, shortly after the marathon bombings.
Okay. Did you, at some point, did you switch departments?
I did.
And you were in North Andover at the beginning, and where did you go?
I went to Lawrence.
Why?
I wanted a little faster pace.
Okay. Did you get it?
I definitely did.
Okay. Now, while you were with Lawrence, did you continue with your SWAT?
Yes, I tried out for the Lawrence SWAT team.
Okay. Can you tell us your trajectory while you were in Lawrence? Were you always on patrol?
No.
Okay. What, can you tell us about that, please?
Became a field training officer, and then I wound up in detectives for several years, and then I went back to patrol to field train the new guys. SWAT, and that's pretty much it.
Now, you said you tried out for the Lawrence SWAT team, correct?
Yes.
And how long did you do that?
That was another 8-hour day.
Okay. I'm sorry. No, was that I don't mean... That was a bad question.
Oh.
How long did you make it, right? You made
yes.
it.
Yes.
And how long did you participate in the Lawrence SWAT team?
I believe 2019 to by the time I departed and went back to North Andover.
Okay.
And
2024, Your Honor. You're welcome.
Why did you come back to North Andover?
I just wanted to bring my training and experience back to where it all started. I have 10 years left, so yeah, that's about it. And I'm getting older, so a slower pace is kind of needed.
Okay. So I'm going to turn your attention back to June 30th of 2025. Were you a patrol on that day?
Yes.
Okay. What was your shift, if you remember?
I did a swap, so I was working for another officer. So that shift was 4 to 12. Okay.
At some point, did you get a call from someone in particular?
Yes, Officer Houston.
Okay. At some point, did you learn why he called you?
Yes.
And why was that?
Apparently, her... the defendant's ex-fiance took a restraining order out.
You had to serve it?
Yes, we had to serve it.
Did you know that person? Did you know a person by the name of Justin Elaine?
Didn't know him, but I met him on one occasion.
Okay. Did you know the defendant, Kelsey Fitzsimmons?
Knew her, but not well. She was on maternity most of the time that when I first transferred over. So,
all right. So you got a call from Houston.
I did.
Where did you go?
We met behind the Atkinson School. It's called the CCC, and he explained the situation to me.
Okay. Was he anybody else arrived at that point?
Not yet.
Okay. At some point, did someone?
Yes.
Who was that?
Lieutenant Daly.
Did you talk about any plan as to how this was going to occur?
Yeah, Lieutenant Daly said that he'd do the talking, and you know, she, based on the restraining order, Justin was supposed to get custody. Oh, sorry.
Well, I'll jump in. So you knew that there was potentially a child there.
Yes.
And that the child would be transferred from the defendant to the fiance, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So where did you go?
So from there, I pointed out to Officer Houston and Lieutenant Daly the positioning of where the defendant had parked her car, which was at least 150 yards away from her house. And we all thought that that was very odd.
Suggestion,
Mr. Drake. Overruled.
So where did you go?
We pulled up right before the house. The foliage was pretty overgrown. So we left our cars there, got out, and walked up to the front door.
Okay. at some point, did you come into contact with the defendant?
Yes, we did.
How did that happen?
Lieutenant Daly knocked on the door or rang the doorbell, and she came out.
Okay. Was she with anybody?
Her baby.
Well, where did you go?
We went into the family room. She went straight to a couch that's off to the left, and I kind of went straight. There was another couch, and I believe Houston was to the left of me.
Did you see and hear Lieutenant Daly interacting with the defendant?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you saw?
He explained the situation that Justin had taken the restraining order out, that we were going to have to remove firearms from the house, and that the baby, their son, he was going to be in Justin's custody for, I think it was 14 days until the next court hearing.
When Lieutenant Daly mentioned that the guns were going to be removed, did the defendant say anything about that?
Yeah, she said that they were located downstairs in the basement.
What happened after that?
I noticed her duty belt on the couch, so I went and checked that. There was no firearm in there. And I observed a like a gun case on a mantle. I opened that up, and there was no gun.
There was no gun. Did she say anything in response to that?
Yeah, she reiterated the guns were downstairs in the basement.
What happened next?
She went to gather some belongings for their son. And she came up and handed me the baby. He was screaming. I was trying to calm him down. I believe she gave me his bottle, and I was trying to feed him. But I thinking that it can't be too comfortable. I wear an outer carrier vest, and I have all my equipment in the front. So it was kind of hard to cradle him.
Did you eventually hand the baby off to someone else?
I did. I believe Lieutenant Daly.
Okay. Now, if... do you typically wear gloves when you're on duty?
I do.
Were you wearing gloves that day?
Yes, briefly for maybe like 10 minutes.
Okay. Did you take them off once you were in the house?
I did.
Now, did Ms. Fitzsimmons leave the room at all?
While I was with the baby, yes. Lieutenant Daly and Officer Houston escorted her around... I think it may have been a kitchen area. I never went back there, so I just basically stayed in the family room with their son.
Okay. Did, on a typical restraining order service, would you let a person who is the subject of the restraining order walk around the house unattended?
No.
Okay. At some point, did they come back?
Yes.
Okay. What happened after that?
I handed the baby off. I was standing in front of her stairs, and she had stated that she had clothes upstairs for the baby, so I handed the baby off.
And so did someone go upstairs?
Myself and Officer Houston.
Okay. Where did you go?
We, right at the top of the stairs, it's a very small hallway. Right to the left is the baby's room. Right to the right is the main bedroom.
Okay. And so where did she go first?
To the left, to the baby's room.
And what did you observe?
I observed a crib. The back wall had bookshelves of sort, and there were just clothes on the ground.
Did you enter the room or did you stay on the outside?
I entered the room there.
Okay. What did you see the defendant doing, if anything?
She was wrapping up baby clothes, and she put them in a car seat. And then while she was doing that, I heard an older lady come in and start to yell at Lieutenant Daly.
Okay. Did that create any reaction from the defendant at all?
No. I asked her who that was downstairs, and she looked up and said she had no idea.
Okay. What happened next?
She handed me the baby seat and asked me to take it downstairs, and I told her no.
Okay, what did you do with it?
I put it on the ground. I said, we'll deal with that later.
What happened next?
She started packing a lot of books, and it's almost like this round basket with two handles. And I explained to her that her son's 4 months old. No need for all the books. You know, you're going to see him in 2 weeks. So,
what did she do with the books?
She handed me the basket and asked me to go downstairs, bring it downstairs.
And what did you do?
I told her we would deal with it later, and I put it down on the ground.
And you told her she'd see her son in 2 weeks?
Yeah, roughly. I said your next court date is on the 14th.
What happened after you put the had that conversation with her and put the book carrier down?
At that point, Officer Houston had gone downstairs because of the commotion. So she said that she had to get more clothes out of her room. So I followed her into the room, but I never went in the room. I stayed on the, I guess, the top landing. Right before the door frame.
Okay. And did that seem to be a bedroom?
Yes.
Okay, so if you walk up the stairs, you had been in the room on the left, correct?
Yes.
Now she went across to the room on the right?
Yes.
Okay. You said you didn't go into the room yourself?
No.
Were you able to see her?
Yeah, she was 3 feet in front of me.
Okay, and what was she doing?
She was wrapping up clothes, and she had paused. And she said something to the effect that these are dirty. And I said, listen, you know, wherever the baby's going, I'm sure there's a washer and dryer.
Court statements, question start.
Overall.
I said, wherever the baby's going most likely has a washer and dryer, so don't be concerned. And then I could tell she was getting upset. She started to shake, and I said, listen, you know, court date is in 2 weeks. It'll be over before you know it.
Did something happen next?
Yes, she was on one knee when she was wrapping up the clothes, and she pushed off with her left foot and lunged behind the door frame. So to my left, to her right.
Okay. Could you see what was there from where you were?
Not from my perspective, no.
What happened after she went behind the door frame?
She reappeared with a gun and pointed it right at me and pulled the trigger.
Can you describe or show us how she did that?
Yep. So when she came around the frame here, she came up and click.
Okay. Where was it pointed?
My face.
Okay. After it clicked, what happened?
I screamed her name. I was completely shocked. She had the drop on me. She began to drop. Which means she had the tactical advantage over me.
Okay.
I drew my weapon. She was already backpedaling, and she was doing what we call a tap rack. Basically, when you do a tap rack, that's when your gun malfunctions. So when you tap the magazine, you want to make sure it's properly seated in the magazine well, and then you rack the upper receiver or the slide.
Okay. I think the judge was writing. I'd like him to see this, if I could. If you could just, because yeah, you made some.
I'm trying to understand the lingo, too. Is it a tap, wrap, like a?
Rack.
Rack.
Rack, yes.
May he stand up so you can see what he's doing, Judge?
Yes.
So a tap, and a rack.
Okay. So tap on the bottom of the magazine?
Yes.
In a rack. Did she do that once or more than once?
She did it twice. So the first time she did it, it was slow motion. I could see her hand slide off the top of the receiver. She started moving her way around the bed, and she began tap racking again, and I was yelling at her, don't do it, don't do it.
And then what happened?
After she successfully got around in the chamber, her right arm started to come up, and I shot twice in rapid succession.
Okay. At her?
Yes.
Can you hold on 1 second, please? You all said thank you.
What did you observe after you fired the second shot?
I saw her flinch. The gun went down, so I stopped shooting. She stopped her action, and then she went to the ground.
Okay. Where was she at this point?
On the opposite side of the bed, in between the wall and the bed.
What did you do next?
I covered down on her.
And what does that mean?
I kept my gun on her or in the area of where she was because I couldn't really see all of her at that point.
What part of her could you see?
I think her legs, maybe. I don't really remember.
Okay. Did someone else appear at that time?
Lieutenant Daly.
Okay. And what did you see him do, if any?
He came up, said, "Where's the gun?" I said, "She still has it. I'll cover you."
And so what happened?
We walked around the bed. I stayed lethal force on her. He rolled her and saw the gun.
Okay. Did you see the gun?
I did too. Yeah.
What happened with the gun?
He put it on the bed, and she was still conscious, alert, moving. I grabbed the gun. I moved it to the other side of the room.
Okay. What did you do next?
We immediately started first aid.
Okay. How so?
Putting pressure on the wound. We wanted to see if there was an exit wound, which there was. So we were trying to stop the bleeding. Officer Houston came running upstairs with a med kit. Lieutenant Daly started to wrap the wounds in gauze. And then Officer Core came into the room, and I ordered him to secure the weapon.
Okay. And did you see him do that?
I did.
Did you hear the defendant saying anything after she was on the ground?
It hurts. And I said, "Just keep breathing. You have a baby to live for."
What happened next?
The medics showed up, fire department, and we all got out of their way so they could start working Kelsey.
Did they transport her out?
Yes, they did.
Did you look for anything after she was removed from the house?
Before she was removed from the house, I walked out of the bedroom just to give them space. It was a very small room. There was a lot of stuff everywhere. Right to the right, there was some sort of, end table where she lunged, and it looked like a wooden box of some sort, and the lid was open on that.
Did you look for any damage out in the hallway at all, or the other room?
When I got out into the hallway, the baby's room had a door with little glass panes, and we noticed, Officer Core noticed it first. He said, this is damage. Did she get a round off on you? And I said, geez, maybe she did.
Okay, hold on. Sustained.
Did you notice the broken glass?
Yes, I did, but there was nothing on the floor, so.
At some point, did you...
Excuse me, one second. Broken glass, where was it?
So on the baby's room, there's a door. I believe it was on the baby's room, and it had little glass panes.
Right.
One of them was damaged, but there was no glass on the floor, Your Honor, so I chalked it up as old.
Why did you shoot twice?
She wouldn't stop.
Do you know if you hit her with the first one or the second one?
I didn't know. The second one, I could visibly see her flinch. The first one, no. She was still getting ready to raise her arm.
Sir, I'm going to show you a number of pictures.
Sure.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as exhibit number 6. Do you recognize that?
I do.
Okay, what is that?
That's the front of the defendant's house and the door that we entered.
Can we move to bit number 10, directing alphabet? Is that the front door?
Oh, yes, that's the front door. The stairs are right to the right, yep.
Here.
What's been marked as exhibit number 36. You recognize what that is?
The stairs leading up. The stairs leading upstairs. So right to the right would be the master. And if you took a quick little left, the baby's room.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as exhibit number 39. Is that the baby's room that you were talking about?
Yes.
Number 38, recognize what that is?
The baby's room.
Is that the container, I guess you will, of books that you were talking about earlier at the bottom?
Oh, yes. Right down, right.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as exhibit number 49. You recognize what that is?
That would be the entrance going into the master.
Okay, into the bedroom?
Yes.
I'll show you what's marked as exhibit number 51. Do you recognize what's in that photo?
That would be the box that was open to the left of the door frame.
Number 50, do you recognize what that is?
Yes.
Where were you in relation to this picture? Sorry. Where were you when you first observed Miss Fitzsimmons pull out the gun and aim it at your face?
Right before the door frame.
Okay, so you backed up a little?
Yep. Okay. Probably right, whoever took that picture, probably right there.
And where were you in relation to the door frame when you shot your weapon?
I used part of the door frame as some sort of cover, and I was leaning up against it with both my hands. So my gun and my wrists would have been in the room.
Show you what's been marked as exhibit number.
All set, thank you.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as exhibit number 53. Do you recognize that?
I do.
Can you tell us, and Judge, if I may ask him to get down to point it out to you?
Okay.
If he could approach. Can you tell us where Miss Fitzsimmons was, if you may show the judge, where Miss Fitzsimmons was when she first tap-racked it, if you can?
Right about here. And then she started sidestepping, and I was telling her not to do it. And I shot approximately right here, and she finished.
I have nothing else.
All right. So, makes sense to stop for the day at this point. And we'll pick up at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. And witnesses, the folks that are on the witness list should continue to follow my order and rule. and that is not to watch any of the other folks' testimony, and we will pick up tomorrow morning.
More coverage of the trial of Kelsey Fitzsimmons is coming up from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.